The following program's views, claims, and/or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon, coming to you live right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join with us, perhaps even if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity that we have to be on the air and to try and make sense a little bit of what's happening in the world around us, Lord. And also, we just thank you for the opportunity to be able to point people to Christ and help people to make sense of the Word of God. Bless the program. Use it for your glory today. Help us to be a blessing to someone listening this afternoon, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number of things, as I say usually when I start one of these programs, a number of things happening because there's just so many things happening, and sometimes I wish I had a daily program rather than just Friday afternoon and Sunday night to try and touch on some of these things, and you got to kind of pick and choose a little bit, and so I chose not to spend time on the comedian Jamie Foxx thanking God and our Lord and Savior Barack Obama. I'm sure some other people have talked about that. Maybe we'll touch on that Sunday night a little bit. But what I wanted to touch on more today is a historical event that took place on November the 28th, and that's the recognition, or I should say the upgrade of the of Palestine to a what do you call it? I guess a not recognition as a state by the UN, but certainly giving them a voice in the UN. And it's really kind of interesting because when you think about Palestine and what it represents and where it came to be, we've got to understand a little bit of history there. And first thing you really need to understand is that the term Palestine does not refer exclusively to Arab peoples or especially Arab Muslims. That's a misnomer that unfortunately most people have been suffering under since the late 1960s. We need to realize that prior to the 1960s, prior to the, I think it was the 1967 war, the everybody living in that area was referred to as a Palestinian. If you were Jewish, you were a Jewish Palestinian. If you were Arab, you were an Arab Palestinian. But that's that term really was going out of favor, and the Arab Palestinians, they kind of cornered the word for themselves and made it exclusive to them. The reason that everybody there enjoyed being called a Palestinian was because prior to 1948, prior to May 14, 1948, when Israel declared itself the State of Israel, that land was known as the Land of Palestine. And I thought I would just give you a little bit of history here today to try and in some way, just to help you to make sense of what's happening there. Essentially, the word Palestine, we find in the Bible in Joel chapter 3 and verse number 4. And there it says, yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? And the word Palestine that's there is similar to the word Palestinia, which also occurs in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 14, as well as in Isaiah chapter 14 in both verses 29 and 31. And both of these words come from the Hebrew word plesheth, something to that effect. I'm not going to guarantee my pronunciation there. But that word actually appears 8 times in the Old Testament. And it occurs several times as Palestine or Palestinia, but it also occurs 4 times as Philistia and Philistines. Philistia in Psalm 60, verse 8, Psalm 87, verse 4, and Psalm 108, verse 9, and as Philistines in Psalm 83, verse 7. It's interesting, when you look at the word Philistines, that comes from a related word, Plishti, which is translated as Philistim and Philistia, and occurs over 243 times. So essentially, the Plishti or the Philistines were the people who inhabited the land of Plesheth or Philistia in the Old Testament days, which, of course, would have been there in the Gaza Strip area in modern geography. And the Philistines were not a Semitic people such as the Jews and the Arabs are. They're both descendants of Abraham, who's a descendant of Shem. The Philistines were descended from Shem's brother Ham. And they are an ancient Hamitic people. They were associated with a number of individuals in Deuteronomy 2:22, the Kaphtorims, and out of who came Kaphtor. And Amos 9:7 says the Philistines came from Kaphtor, and that they were the remnant of the Jeremiah adds in Jeremiah 47:4 that they were the remnant of the country of Kaphtor. And so the Philistines were actually associated and related to the Kaphtorims and outlived them. Going down through and just jumping past a lot of history, the Bible records a lot of conflict between the Jews and the Palestinians. Well, basically, the biblical Palestinians, the Philistines, disappeared around about the same time that Babylon carried the Jews into captivity, and they disappeared after that, and the names Philistia and Palestinian, Palestine, Philistine, that fell into disuse. They didn't really reappear until the Romans annexed the land in 6 BC as a part of the province of Syria, Palestine. That's what they called it. And that encompassed, in addition, the land where we have present-day Israel, as well as the country of Jordan. And in 647, under Titus, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, then the temple. In 70 AD, they destroyed the temple, and then the Bar Kokhba revolution or rebellion in 135 AD, the Roman Emperor Hadrian moved to eliminate the Jewish state completely, forcibly exiled most of the Jewish population from the land. They actually renamed the land Philistium or Palestine as an insult to the Jews after their ancient enemies, the Philistines. The Christians did not use the name Palestine until about 300 AD, when the church historian Eusebius referred to himself as one of the bishops of Palestine, and that name began to stick, and the name Palestine became affixed to the area that covers Israel and Jordan today, including West Bank and Golan Heights and the Gaza Strip. The Jewish presence increased there, and the Ottoman Empire eventually came along with the Muslims and all of that, and I'm glossing over a lot of history here. I'm going to link an article to our website, live.maplenoel.us, called "Will the Real Palestinians Please Stand Up?" that I wrote a few years ago on this subject. And the Balfour Declaration was issued in 1917, I think it was, and calling for the creation of a Jewish homeland in Palestine. And on January 4th, 1919, mandating a Jewish homeland in Palestine. What happened, though, is about a year or two later, a couple years later, 1922, bowing to pressure from the British Foreign Office and some Arab interests, Britain subdivided the land of Palestine. And the reason they subdivided it is because it was a way to alleviate some of the tensions between the Jewish and the Muslim residents of the land. And they decided land for peace, a two-state solution. And the two-state solution resulted in about three-quarters of the land being carved off to make the country of Jordan, and about a quarter of the land of Palestine being left for the Jewish state of Israel. And that continued. That wasn't successful. The Arabs continued to agitate. And by the end of World War II, and in February 1947, Britain was fed up with the problem. They gave it to the new UN, United Nations, and they further partitioned Western Palestine in November of 1947 in order to provide yet another two-state solution to bring peace between the Arab Muslims and the Jews that were living in that area. And the Jews actually accepted that partition, but the Arabs did not. And the Jews realized that the only thing that was going to be acceptable to the Arab Muslims was the elimination of any Jewish homeland completely. And so that's what prompted them to declare their own state. And of course, two days ago, today being the 30th, it's ironic that Sudan, which is a genocidal state, the leader of Sudan has actually been charged with crimes against humanity, is who put forward the resolution to upgrade the status of Palestine in the UN. And they were backed by a number of Muslim states whose all desires are to eliminate Israel there. And, of course, Hamas, who controls the Gaza Strip, they're very open that they want to eliminate Israel or the Jewish people. In fact, in Article 7 of the Hamas, or I'm sorry, not Article 7, but in the Hamas covenant, it says Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it has obliterated others before it. And then in Article 7 of the Hamas Charter, they quote from the Hadith where they say, the day of judgment will not come about until Muslims fight the Jews, killing the Jews, when the Jew will hide behind stones and trees. The stones and trees will say, O Muslims, O Abdullah, there is a Jew behind me, come and kill him. Only the Garkin tree would not do that because it is one of the trees of the Jews. And this is in the Hamas charter. You can find this stuff online. This is not stuff that's, hidden away. It's just that the American liberal media and the European liberal media doesn't like you to read this sort of thing. And also, a part of their strategies and methods are revealed in the Hamas Charter, Article 11. The Islamic Resistance Movement believes that the land of Palestine is an Islamic waqf consecrated for future Muslim generations until Judgment Day. It or any part of it should not be squandered, or any part of it should not be given up. And they're referring to the entire land of Israel today. So the idea of the two-state solution, it's been tried and failed in the past. It hasn't worked, and it won't work again. The whole purpose of it is to destroy Israel. Ironically, even the date of the UN resolution has significance, because on November 29th, that was the day that the UN General Assembly, November 29th, 1947, that they passed a plan to partition Palestine into a Jewish state and an Arab state. And ironically, the Jewish state would have been broken up into a couple disjointed pieces for a contiguous Arab state within the boundaries of present Israel. And also on November 28th, 1941, even more importantly, November 28th, the anniversary, or certainly this UN resolution on the 28th, was on this anniversary day for a reason. This is when one of the most influential leaders of the Arab world, a leader of the Palestinian Arabs, Haj Amin al-Husseini met with Adolf Hitler in Berlin on November 28, 1941, and that's where they moved together, and they met to negotiate with the idea that eventually Husseini and Himmler were going to destroy the Jews living in Palestine. They were going to expand the Holocaust that occurred in Germany to the 800,000 Jews of the Arab world, and specifically also the 450,000 Jews in the land of Israel. That November 28, 1941 meeting was 2 months before the Wannsee Conference, where the German High Command received its first orders to annihilate European Jewry. And it's no coincidence that they chose these dates to put forward this thing. It's no coincidence that they plan and they're open about the destruction of Israel. They will not rest until all of the land is under Muslim control with no Jewish presence whatsoever. They believe that. They're fighting for that. And Hamas is fighting for that. And I might add that Hamas is, in and of itself, by its own recognition, a branch of the Muslim Brotherhood, who, surprise, surprise, has taken over the large Arab state of Egypt. And, well, been talking about a number of things there. We've got some callers calling in, and apologize for keeping our callers waiting. I wanted to get some of that information out, and you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, and our first caller up is John. And John, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, welcome.
How you doing?
Good, good.
You know, Pastor Al, with a lot of what we're seeing now, well, you briefly alluded to, like, I know you don't spend a lot of time with Jamie Foxx saying that about Barack Obama as his Lord and Savior, and you see how blasphemous a statement that is, but also, you know, you see that media is, like, refusing to report on a lot of things.
Oh, absolutely.
Around the world, like the persecution of Christians. The fact that, like in Egypt right now, there are people that have been crucified in front of the presidential palace, and around the world in Nigeria and in many places like North Korea and China, the persecution of the church is at probably the highest point maybe that it's ever been. There's so many people being murdered.
Oh, absolutely, John. And John, that actually brings up another good point here. You know, one of the reasons that they usually cite for all of this that they want to do to help the Palestinians form their own state because they suffer such terrible abuse and they've been so persecuted and all of that, they're these underdogs. You know, the thing of it is that they claim to be the underdogs and supposedly get world sympathy. Even our former president, Jimmy Carter, wrote a book, you know, sympathizing with them because of all the abuse that they had. But, you know, the sad thing is, like you said, in Egypt and also in the Palestinian-controlled West Bank and Gaza Strip, Christians that are there suffer greatly, and they've not been persecuting the Jewish or the Muslims. They've been persecuted by the Muslims. And they just want to worship in peace. And oftentimes they're the exact same race. They're the same language, same ethnicity. The only difference is they're not Muslim. And the Jew or the Muslims do not want anybody other than Muslims living in that part of the world.
Yeah, and Pastor, too, you know, the thing is, you know, a lot of the church in other countries has been praying for a long time for persecution to come to America so that people would be more faithful to the Lord and, you know, be really, you know, maybe even some would really, that are not saved, that have just had a profession of faith, would truly get saved if persecution came. And so now it seems like maybe, you know, there'll be more of that. Right now it's just a lot of ridicule and things like that, but it may be that soon with the new policies of this new government, there may be, you know, actually people, you might see them arrested and, you know, forced to take a stand, you know, for what their church believes.
Oh, absolutely. And I've said it before here on the radio and at our church that even the most feeble, you know, light for Christ is going to shine brighter in dark times. Because, you know, if you go outside at night with a little match. You light a match, and it's very visible. But you light that same match out there during the you know, noontime or, you know, the middle of the afternoon, and nobody notices it. But in the middle of the night, it's very visible. And the darker the world gets, the more Christians stand out. And it really is harder for Christians to sit in the corner not take a stand for Christ.
Right. And now even I've heard recently, well, this one pastor was on the radio last night just talking briefly about, too, like within now certain people groups now, people, they just kind of accept people on, you know, their nationality lines. Like they call everybody who's of that particular skin color, like call them a brother. Like, for example, I heard, you know, some people that are supposedly Christian pastors, you know, talking, and then they're referring to, like, Louis Farrakhan as Brother Farrakhan. And I'm like, I wonder how that could be. Like, because one's supposed to be a Christian, the other one's like a black Muslim. You know, well, but yet they call him brother because he's the same skin color.
Not everybody that calls themselves Christians is a Christian.
I was going to say, just like in
Jesus' day, not everybody that called themselves Jewish in terms of the religion, not the ethnic group, was Jewish in terms of the religion. He called the Pharisees, who should have been serving God, he called them the children of the devil. And so children of the devil can call themselves brothers. Farrakhan serves the devil with his false religion. And there's a lot of false Christian religions out there that serve the devil. And so in that sense, yeah, they are brothers because they're children, you know, spiritually speaking, they're children of the devil. Jesus said to the Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil. And this implies they're children of the devil. And John, got just a couple minutes left in the program. I got one more caller I'd like to get to real quick if
Pastor
I could. Appreciate the call, bringing
much.
That point up, those points up. Thank you very much. And we've got Nancy in Euclid waiting patiently as well. Nancy, welcome.
Yes, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call. And in view of Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. It seemed to apply so often to these liberal politicians. UN Ambassador Susan Rice, who went on numerous TV shows to share to the public that the Benghazi attack was a result of an anti-Muslim video. Now, would you say that this would disqualify her from being Secretary of State? Some people would argue that she was just doing as the Obama administration told her to do. So I'm really a little bit fuzzy on this, if you could clarify that.
Okay, yeah, well, certainly. And we've talked a little bit about Benghazi in the past. Sad thing is, a lot of Americans do not know what Benghazi is. If you bring it up, they say, Benghazi, who's that? You know, mm-hmm. I've heard of Ben this and Ben that, you know, Ben Affleck or something like that. Who's Benghazi? You know, no, Benghazi is one of the most tragic and horrible foreign policy failures. We let our ambassador be slaughtered. We let four Americans be slaughtered when we had the opportunity to help. And our government knew it at the highest levels. And I believe that Susan Rice knew what had happened when she went on those talk shows. If I were on the one of those committees, I would not be able to vote for her because she absolutely lied about it and she won't admit it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she, but for the, for some people who share her beliefs and her way of thinking, they would find that as a reason to vote for her because, after all, she's good at following orders.
Yeah.
And, there's been a lot of regimes around the world down through the ages where people justified all kinds of horrible things by saying, mm-hmm. I was just following orders.
Yes.
And that's what she was doing. She was just following orders. She was promised probably, I'm assuming she was promised to be Secretary of State. And I don't think that they honestly thought that anybody would pick up on any of this. And if you listen to the liberal media, they're not covering it. They really aren't. And there's reason to believe, in fact, there's some suggestions out there that the president actually believed that the military might move against him over that incident, and that's why he got rid of General Hamm and also some of the other ones that were there, Admiral Gouet, and some others. But we're out of time there, Nancy, and appreciate your call there. And,
thank you, Pastor Al.
I hope you'll call back again, and hope people listening will join us Sunday night for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 11 o'clock till midnight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And, of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church. Be some information about that coming up. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Check them out, Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. We're out of time. God bless, and have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220, The Word. The following program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.